You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 380, The Superboy Chronicles, part 1, the most important year of Superboy's life. And welcome to episode 380 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I am Paul French, and today I'm solo lad. I'm actually on vacation. Not yet. I will be on vacation. And by the time you're hearing this, I will have been on vacation. So I need to record this one a little early. And so I've been doing a lot of the Superboy team-ups, and that's all cool and everything. But as I said, when I started doing those, my original intent was actually to do the New Adventures of Superboy series. I finally found them all. So, yay. So we're going to start off. I'm going to get right to it. We're going to start off with issue number one. Now, many of you will remember, and some of you will not remember, that what happened was Superboy had his original book that ran, you know, from many, many years before. And around in the sort of late 1990s, they started putting it as Superboy starring the Legion of Superheroes, and later it would, of course, become Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes. And it would be that way up until issue 258. And the following issue, Superboy left the Legion. And the idea of it was that they wanted to focus more on the Legion of Superheroes characters and get another book out of it, and so they put out The New Adventures of Superboy, which started in January of 1980. And 10-year-old Paul, he loved this book and still does. 46-year-old Paul, also a fan. And so issue one, which was the Electrifying, yes, that was a typo, first issue of Superboy, started with a cover by Kurt Schaffenberger, series artist, and one of my favorite all-time artists. I just love his style, especially when paired with Dave Hunt, as he was on this book, and in particular this issue. And so we have on the cover, we've got Superboy and Ma Kent is very concerned. It is his birthday. It says, happy 16th birthday. And she says, trust us, Superboy, without this extra candle, you can't celebrate your 16th birthday. Why? What is the secret that Superboy's parents must never reveal? So, yes, that again, Kurt Schaffenberger cover with inks by Dick Giordano. And it is, again, the first Electrifying issue of The New Adventures of Superboy. And it cost a mere 40 cents. Oh, the good old days. All right, so let's get right into it. So the story is brought to us by writer Cary Bates, penciler Kurt Schaffenberger, inker Dave Hunt, colorist Gene D'Angelo, letterer Ben Oda, and editor the late, great Julius Schwartz. And so we start off with Clark wearing his trademark red sweater vest with the white shirt, collared shirt under it. He's at his birthday party, and you've got Pete Ross there, Chief Parker, and Lana Lang, and of course, Ma and Pa Kent. So, Pete tells him to make sure he makes a secret wish before he blows out the candles, and Chief Parker, who is like there in uniform, of course, because, you know, like you do, he says, he's thinking, to be 16 and fancy free again, that would be my wish. And Lana, of course, I'm not going to say it, but you know, she says, and if you want your wish to come true, Clark, blow them out with one breath, not a string of weak gasps. Sounded a little more Valley Girl than it should, given that this story takes place in the 60s. Because remember, 1980. Okay, so let's position ourselves in time, because for ages, Superboy had taken place in the 30s. And it just continued to be that way for years and years and years. You would look, and in Smallville would always have like old school, like 1930s cars. And it was as though he was frozen in time, and the time between Superman and him would get longer and longer. So it's 1980. Superman is 29 years old, because pre-crisis at this point, he was considered to be permanently 29, right? So by that logic, it's 1980, he's 29, that means he was born in 1951. Okay, so born in 51, so he is 16, so we go from, 67 this takes place, right? So 1967. Well, we'll get to that in a second. But this is the kind of the one of the earlier times that we were actually seeing that playing out as the correct time period. Pete, ever the eagle-eyed fellow, he says, "Hey, Clark, if this is your 16th birthday, how come there are 17 candles on the cake?" And he's, "Hey, don't ask me. Ask Mom and Dad. They've been putting an extra candle on my cake every year since my 8th birthday." And Mom, Pa, Kent say, "I guess you could call it a Kent tradition, Peter. We've come to think of the extra candle as a good luck token for the coming year." And so the party continues. But the only people that know the real story are Jonathan and Martha Kent. Now, you know, this is the younger looking Jonathan and Martha Kent, you know, with the brown hair. And so they're feeling something that goes beyond parental pride and perhaps even beyond words. And then we get like clouds showing that we're going back 8 years. And we have an older looking Jonathan and Martha Kent. How could that be? Well, Julia Schwartz reminds us that, as longtime Superboy fans know, Ma and Pa Kent were turned younger by a chemical from another dimension. Therefore, although this scene occurs before the preceding one, the Kents look older. And let me just say, they look significantly older. Okay? So, she says, "Land sakes, Jonathan, sometimes I can't believe how fast our boy is growing." And he says, "I know what you mean, Martha. 8 years old is a landmark age for any boy, no doubt about it." And they say, "But, you know, this is really becoming a special birthday." And it turns out that the night before this, Superboy made his first public appearance at the age of 8. Smallville Sentinel talks about this caped mystery kid who displayed superpowers. And it says Superboy flies high, or rather, Superboy flies high. And they say how, you know, he's earned it. You know, he's been training and growing with the superpowers for 6 years. And they say he was ready. There was nothing much more we could teach him. And they, you know, realize that, yeah, you know, for the rest of his life, he'll have to be two people. And they said, "Yes. And only the one with the glasses can be our son. The one with the cape belongs to the rest of the world." So we see, downtown Smallville, a bunch of people, with their cars. So 8 years old. So this would be 1959. In Smallville, and they can see him flying, and no one can figure out, you know, how does he fly without wings? And then some creepy dude in a car says, "I see it, but I'm not going to believe it till I touch it." Whoa, just pump the brakes, dude. They're like, "Golly, look at him go! That boy is faster than a speeding bullet." And they said that no other towns have reported seeing him. So do you think Superboy lives right here in Smallville? And they say, "Nah, Smallville never had anyone bigger than a state senator. Bet the kid's an alien from outer space, probably bunks in his private flying saucer." And of course, Clark can hear all of this going on. And he says that, you know, hey, you know, super hearing comes in handy when you want to hear what people are saying behind your back or under your flight pattern. And he says, "Mom and Dad said it'd be like this for a while, everybody buzzing with questions about me." And you know, he's in the sights of, there's some people observing, and it says, "Fascinating. Not only do self-propelled flights seem effortless for him, our computer forecast he is capable of much swifter velocities." Wow, their computers in 1959? And even more amazing feats. Let's continue our analysis. And then we see a plane dropping out of the sky, a single-engine plane. And he says, "I hope that pilot read the newspaper or listened to his radio this morning. Otherwise, he'll be in for a terrible shock when he sees a flying kid rescuing his plane." And they say, "Do not comprehend, Byrne. The youth suddenly abandons his mission of rescue without cause. That aircraft will surely crash." "Not so, Milo. Widen your field of observation." And we realize it is a Flying Aces stunt pilot show. And the pilot is Ace Morgan, who, of course, was one of the challengers of the unknown. So what a spectacular stunt it was, folks. Only Ace Morgan's iron nerve and uncanny skill pulled him out of that death-defying dive with just seconds to spare. So I guess this actually does kind of almost qualify as a Superboy meets Heroes from the Future, because there we go. But wait, there seems to be another flying form. And so he says, no, not a plane, not a bird, but the amazing Cape Wonder the whole world's been talking about. The one, the only, the sensational Superboy. And so Superboy realizes, hey, lucky thing I noticed the stunt show banner at the last minute, almost messed up with his diving act, and he puts on a little air show of his own. And he says, yes, sirree, good people, the only the Flying Aces show could bring you Superboy, the world's most spectacular extra added attraction. And they're saying, shucks, I wish I brought along my camera. This is even better than seeing Elvis Presley in person. Again, putting us in touch with the era. And the Barker says, I don't quite know how to describe what we're seeing, but I guarantee your eyes aren't deceiving you. Still another flying shape has appeared in the sky out of nowhere. An honest to good, unidentified flying object. And it is. It's a big UFO that zaps Superboy in their tractor beam. And they're like, you saw it here, folks. A real-life UFO abduction right over our heads. We'll all swear we saw that beam yank the flyboy up into the spaceship. He says, we know next to nothing about this Superboy who made his dramatic debut less than 24 hours ago. Can even his fantastic powers prove a match for whoever or whatever is piloting that strange craft from the sky? From the stars. Stars, not the sky. And so Superboy wakes up on the spaceship, and they say, glad to see you again, Superboy. You've grown considerably since we last we saw you. We searched a myriad of planetary systems to find you again. And they say how he must be confused, and he is. And they're trying to scan him, and he deflects their beam by raising his hands, and then they find these energy grapplers that hold him in place. And he says, I don't know who you space people are, but it's clear you haven't been keeping up with current events on Earth. You see, there's a reason they call me Superboy around here. He says, but talk, as my dad says, is cheap. I'll show you why. And he gets, still in the grip of the energy grapplers, flies out, bores a hole in the bottom of the spacecraft and flies out. And does a big twist. So you see, the energy beams twisting around. And they say, only one explanation is feasible, Burn. The physiological conditions of this planet, perhaps of this entire solar system, have endowed the youth with awesome physical powers. I agree, Myla, which means we must readjust our plan of action. Now, Burn and Myla. Now, Burn. He's got to worry about Burn, because one day, Burn will destroy Superboy. Not this character, Burn, but John Burn, but you know what I'm saying. So, at the very next instant, a few thousand more super speed spins, and great suns, the ray beams have suddenly disappeared, and ditto for the spaceship. And he says, for Superboy, I sure have a lot of unanswered questions. So later on, he's back at the Kent home, and he's explaining this whole thing about it and to his parents. And they say, well, let's hope your superpowers scared the aliens back into space, because considering the way they abducted you, they obviously couldn't have been very friendly. And Superboy says, I can sure vouch for that. And meanwhile, Martha's bringing out the old film projector, and she says, enough shop talk. If one of you will turn out the lights, we can get this birthday party going. And he says, oh, not again, Mom. Every year, we look at these same home movies you and Dad took of me just after I arrived on Earth. And there he is in the blankets. You know, basically, it is a Superboy costume. You know, it's got the cape. You know, he's wearing little white booties, red socks, red shorts, blue shirt, and the red cape. And Jonathan says, let's just say your mother gets a twinge of nostalgia about this time every year, and I must admit, so do I. And then all of a sudden, the screen gets taken over, and it's the spaceship, and Jehoshaphat, that looks like it came from one of those science fiction films down at the Bijou. And I say, Jonathan, this is no time for one of your practical jokes. He says, it's no joke, Mom. That's the spacecraft I was telling you and Dad about. And so we hear the story of Burn and Myla, how they had a solemn farewell voyage over the silent cities of their native planet. And he said, if only we had perfected our wonder cure a few fronds earlier, we might have saved millions of lives. And it turns out there was this huge space plague, and Burn and Myla tested the cure for it on themselves. And so they had to go out and seek a new planet and life for themselves. And he says, we cannot let our civilization die. And so they go through this radiation cloud. And you know, radiation clouds, never a good thing. Well, I mean, you get superpowers from them. But other than that, bad. And they say, yeah, we're still alive despite the killer radiation penetrating our bodies. Turns out that their cure and whatever it was had actually done the job too well. And so it cured all diseases and all physical injuries as well. And he said, our brains had continued to transmit the powerful biocures long after the serum wore off. Put it simply, our minds would no longer allow our bodies to die. In effect, we had made ourselves immortal. And so they thought, hey, like, everybody wants to be immortal, like, lucky. And they say a million years of aimless wandering went by, and then another million, and still another. And it took us that long to realize the horrible truth. Our blessing had turned out to be an everlasting curse. And so they show them in the spaceship, and they're so bored. So then they see about 6 years ago. So that gives you an idea. So Superboy was 2 when he came to Earth, apparently. You know, again, sort of putting the timeline in order here. So that would have, so Krypton would have been destroyed in 1953. So they burn, scan that small cylindrical capsule emerging from a hyperspace warp, and they realize that it contains a human infant. And so, like, how cool is this, right? Because Superboy's looking at this and he's like, that's my rocket when it was on its way to Earth. Like, I'm seeing me coming to Earth. How cool is that? So they checked it out and they think, hey, you know, we could have found our salvation. And they're saying, it's pulling us in. And so basically then they lost course. They lost track of him. And so they had to keep looking and they got stuck in this warp and it pulled them in and took them light years from their original position. So they had to try and find this blue-green world that he had landed on. And they found him. You know, here they are. And so then the aliens beam down and and Jonathan's all Jehoshaphat. It's the aliens right here in the house. Get out before I... And Martha, manners, Jonathan. Manners. Wow. So he says, we truly meant what we said. Please. And no, I'm laughing at sort of the goofiness part of it. Because everyone seems to think that, oh, the goofiness was all gone by the 80s. But there's still some of it in there. And it's awesome. And I love it. I love this book. Do not get me wrong. Okay? So he says, we mean you no harm. And they say, okay, well, what is it you want? And so they say, we've figured out a way to end our eternal misery by perfecting a device designed to isolate and extract the aging factor from another living being. And it turns out that the reason it could work is because, you know, he's invulnerable. It probably won't hurt him. And he'd be able to survive it. So they're like, you must be out of your alien minds if you think you're talking about our son. This is Martha now, right? Right? She said, if you think you're talking about our son, all you want to do is rob him of a normal life. And Jonathan says, manners, Martha, remember? So what they're saying is like, yeah, so we would take the aging away from him. And it would be the, you know, he would be locked into the age at which his aging ability was removed. So, you know, permanently 8 years old. Perhaps if they waited till he was 29, he could be permanently 29. I'm just saying. And they, so they say, you know, hey, no way. And, you know, and to them, like 20, another, you know, what, 19 or another 11 year, another 21 years. Math is not my forte today. You know, yeah, it's not that far. So he says, you know, hey, think of this, a choice between all of the normal problems and adjustment associated with aging, not to mention the traumas which adulthood always brings. And he says, then there's our alternative choice. Number 2, a life of youth everlasting. He says, these are undoubtedly the happiest days of your life, child. Why should you permit the aging process to end them? And so Jonathan says, no, dude, seriously. You know, you're wasting your breath. This is the most level-headed 8-year-old on Earth. And he says, Martha and I don't have to tell him the folly of becoming a permanent 8-year-old. So Superboy says, hey, could I say something now? After all, it is my life we're talking about. And he says, I know you're always looking to do what's best for me, but you got to admit they've been completely honest. And he says, for them, immortality only meant traveling endlessly through space, always suffering eternal loneliness and sometimes agonizing pain. But I think I could handle immortality a lot better. After all, I am Superboy. Superboy for like 2 days, and already he's like, drop the mic. I'm the man. And they say, Clark, you don't realize what you're saying. And he says, don't let these aliens snow you, son. You'd be making a mistake you'd sorely regret forever. And because what 8-year-old doesn't want to, you know, they always, when you're 8, you always want to be older, right? Because you don't realize. And so they give him this space needle. It's a space needle. Not like the one in Seattle, but like a space syringe, an energy syringe, that basically will release, when he presses the plunger, an intense beam will be released that will absorb your aging factor in an instant flash. And he says, for it to be effective, the energy level is so high, we knew no living being who could possibly survive it until we found this kid. So he says, my X-ray vision revealed they're telling the truth. This device can't possibly generate any type of energy that would harm me. And so they're just like, I can't believe this is happening. Why won't he listen? And Jonathan says, Milo was right about one thing, Martha. This is Clark's decision and his alone. And he takes a knee and holds on to Clark and says, son, your mother and I have complete faith in you. Whatever you decide, we will be behind your choice 100%. He says, thanks, Dad. Now I need to be by myself for a while to think things through one last time. And so, you know, Martha says, you were right, Jonathan. No matter what happens, we got to have faith in Clark's judgment. And they say, Bern and Milo say, the two of you must have been exceptional parents, Jonathan and Martha Kent. The lad has been most fortunate. And he said, you know, and Jonathan says, I must admit, if you two had shown up some 40 odd years ago and offered me the chance to stay an 8-year-old forever, I'd have said yes without a moment's thought. Now, I just want to say, like, Jonathan looks like super old here, okay? So 40 odd years ago, so maybe a swing of a couple of years here and there, because most people know how long ago it was that they were 8. 38 years for me. And dude looks super old. I don't think I look that old. I'm just saying. So they say, if only we knew what Clark was thinking. And they say, well, that's an impossibility. However, you know, they get the on the projection screen, we see Superboy flying, and he flies to the top of a mountain. He looks at the device and he zaps himself with it. And you know, like they were, you know, like they're saying, all of Clark's friends, Martha, myself, everybody in his world will grow older and pass him by, and he'll have to abandon his life as Clark Kent entirely. He'll be Superboy full time, for all time, the loneliest boy in the galaxy. Yeah, and he pulls the thing. Of course, we know it's okay because we know he'll, at the very least, grow to be 29. Maybe it takes that amount of time for the thing to, like, you know, take hold. It kind of, you know, pumps the brakes a little on it. Anyway. So he shows up a few seconds later and he says, I'll tell you one thing, if I'm immortal now, I sure can't feel it. And Bern says, hurry, Superboy, hand me the device. And they say, we have waited eons for this moment. And they zap themselves when they say, the device is now transferring your aging factor into us. To be able to age at last, it seems too glorious to be true. And they say, now what? You know, haven't you two done enough to him? And they actually memory zap him. They say, we are merely using our science to induce a selective memory loss so your foster son will have no memory of our existence. If one day he should regret his immortality, at least he will not be able to blame himself for his choice. Simply tell him that his immortality is a natural function under Earth's yellow sun. And they said, the memory loss will not take effect for 5 of your minutes. We bid you farewell. See, that one takes a little while to take hold. So they're like, Mom, Dad, why the glum stares? Didn't you see the happy faces of Milo and Bern? And they said, thank the stars for the amnesia. At least he won't remember his mistake. And he says, hey, helping others is what being Superboy is all about. Isn't that what you've always taught me? And he says, mistake? Like, Mom, Pa, you don't really think I'd be reckless and immature enough to go through with their plan to make myself immortal? And but the four of us, we saw you use the extraction device. And he goes, oh, that. He says, my super hearing told me that Bern was tuning in, so I knew to put on a good show. He says, as intense as their beam was, my heat vision had it beat. You couldn't tell, but my heat beam neutralized theirs. It never touched me. And they say, I'm confused. Milo and Bern left thinking they were no longer immortal. And he says, I think I understand, Martha. Clark couldn't give him his aging factor, but he could leave them with a placebo, a psychological cure. And he says, correct, Dad. Remember what they told me. It was their brains that weren't allowing them to die. Because remember, they said that it was still releasing these biocures. He says, I figure if I could make them believe that they had absorbed my aging factor, the power of suggestion and their minds would do the rest. And he says, and I was right. I'm using supervision to scan their ship as it leaves Earth's atmosphere. They've both started to age, ever so slightly. They look so happy now. And he says, huh, my head's starting to feel funny, like it's in a fog. And yeah, that must be that amnesia effect catching up with him. And Martha says, I'm so proud of him, Jonathan. Just imagine what kind of Superman he'll make someday. And he says, well, let's be thankful he will be Superman one day instead of an eternal 8-year-old. So from now on, we'll put an extra candle on his birthday cake every year as our secret token of thanks and good luck for the next year. And that's the end of the story. And that was a great thing about this this series. Is mostly one and done's. You'll see like issue 3 and 4. It's a two-parter, so I'll probably do those together. You know, they're like 18-page stories, so they go by pretty quickly. I got to tell you again, I love this book. This was a favorite of mine as a kid, and it's still a favorite of mine to read now. That Kurt Schaffenberger, Dave Hunt artwork is just a thing of beauty, and so we'll do more of these as circumstances make that a thing. I'll get into further issues of the series, and there's a lot of great stuff, and it's pretty status quo for a while, and then they start to sort of mess with it later on. And when I say mess with it, I don't mean that necessarily a bad way, but we get some new characters and we kind of, spread out the characters. So it's not just Pete and Lana all the time. There's actually other people that he knows, and we'll see old new villains. We'll see the younger versions of old villains. We'll see, other friends pop in and all kinds of stuff. And so I hope that you will enjoy the Superboy Chronicles along with me on this. And that's all I got to say. Would love to hear what you guys have as memories of this series. And other than that, I'm gonna call this one out. And because the fog of amnesia is hitting me, and I think I'm going to put an extra podcast on every year just to wait. No, that's not really still once a week, folks. Don't worry. Anyway, comments, as always, are welcome at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. You can join in the conversation on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We are on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. And in addition to all these things, you can head over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, where you can leave a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble and head back to 1967 to help blow the extra candle out on Superboy's birthday cake. And we will see you all next week.